Now, if you've got a Bible, will you turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. So it's helpful if you've got a Bible just to read on with me, to look at it. And if you don't have a Bible, you can listen in and follow as we read. So the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, and we're going to commence to read at verse 36. So the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and let's read from verse 36. Let's listen to the word of God. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Amen. And so reads God's word. So what is baptism all about? As I said at the start, some of you might be sitting here this evening thinking, this is a strange, strange thing. Strange thing that seven people are going to go into a hole in the ground, they're going to go into a tank of water in their clothes and going to get wet. Maybe you sit here this evening, that makes no sense whatsoever. So what is baptism all about? Do you know what baptism's all about? It's all about Jesus. That's what baptism's all about. It's all about Jesus. We talk a lot about Jesus. We talk a lot about Jesus Christ in this church. In fact, we talk a lot about the gospel. And maybe that's a word you've heard as well, gospel. The word gospel really means good news. And the gospel is really the good news about Jesus Christ. Because it's all about Jesus. Now, if there's good news, that means there must also be bad news as well. And the Bible does tell us that. As we read God's word, it tells us what the gospel is. It tells us this incredible, life-changing good news. But it also tells us what the bad news is. And what it does is it compares us. It compares us to a holy and a perfect and a righteous God. So the Bible does. It teaches us what God is like. We sang about that in our second song. He's indescribable. He's perfect in every single way. And yet as we compare ourselves to God, we see a completely different story. We see that we fall so far short of God's perfect, holy standards. That's what the Bible teaches us. It teaches us that we have all sinned. That word sin is a biblical word. And what that word sin actually means is it's something that falls short. It misses the mark. Really the image in the Bible, in the language used in the Bible, is that of somebody taking aim with a bow and arrow. And as they fire with their bow and arrow at a target, well, they're missing the mark. That's what our lives are like. We are missing the mark compared to God's perfect standard. But here's the reality of our lives. It's not as if we're aiming at this target of perfection to be like God, and we're just missing the bullseye by that much. It's as if the target is over there and we have turned our backs and we are firing in completely the wrong direction. That's what our lives are like in comparison to God's perfect standards. But here's the good news. Here's the gospel. And it's all about Jesus Christ. And the good news is that Jesus Christ, God's Son, he loved us. And he loved us even though each one of us have done so many wrong things. And he came into this world and he died on a cross. And when he was dying on that cross, he wasn't dying for the wrong things he had done because he hadn't done anything wrong. He was dying for the wrong things that I have done. Those thoughts that have gone through my mind, those wrong attitudes, those wrong actions that I've done. But not just me, but you as well. And when he was dying there, he was taking the punishment that I deserved, taking our place. And after that, he was buried, but that's not the end of the story because it's a good news story. The Bible tells us that 3 days later, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. It's an incredible message of good news. And because he's alive, he offers us forgiveness for our sins. And this church, it's all about Jesus. That's the reason we meet. We're meeting here this evening, but we meet many times through the week. We meet because it's all about Jesus. We talk about Jesus. We pray to God through Jesus. We sing songs. We're going to sing lots more songs here this evening as well. And all our songs are about Jesus Christ. But what we also do as we meet here as a church is we like to not only talk about the gospel, the good news, we like to show it as well. We show it and we observe two ordinances as a church. One of them is called communion and one of them is called baptism. And really what these are, these two ordinances, communion and baptism, is they're two visual pictures of the good news story of Jesus Christ. Two visual reminders of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So this morning after our morning service, we observe communion. That's what we did. The people who are Christians, we stayed here this morning. This table was at the front on top of where the baptismal tank is. And on this table were just some simple things. There were some bread and wine. We ate the bread and we drank the wine. They're just visual pictures. As we did that, they remind us of this great message of the Bible. The bread reminded of Christ's body that was broken on the cross for us, suffered in our place. The wine as we drank it reminded of his blood that was shed. And we give thanks this morning. And we give thanks that it's all about Jesus and Jesus Christ took our place. This evening, we're going to observe another one of these ordinances. We're going to hold a baptismal service here. And baptism is all about Jesus. It's another visual aid. And when the seven people go into this water later on this evening, they will go down into the water. We'll not hold them there. We will bring them back up again afterwards. And that's a visual picture. It reminds us of the death, the burial of Jesus as they go underneath the water, but Jesus didn't stay buried. He rose again in the newness of life. And that will be pictured in baptism as they go under the water, like the death, the burial, and then they rise again as a picture of Christ's resurrection power. You see, baptism makes no sense whatsoever without Jesus. Without Jesus, it's just a group of people getting wet on a Sunday night in front of a couple of hundred other people looking on. And who wants to do that? But Jesus makes the difference. But why do these seven young people sitting over here, want to get baptized this evening? Well, they want to get baptized as an act of obedience. It's what Jesus Christ instructed his disciples to do, that when they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they would be baptized as a public profession of their faith. And that's what Jesus commanded his disciples to do. Before Jesus ascended up to heaven after his resurrection, he gathered his disciples around him and he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Proclaim this good news story about my death, my burial, my resurrection as well. Proclaim this. And when people put their faith and trust in me, baptize them. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as a public declaration that these people belong to me. That's what they did in the early church. We've just read from Acts chapter 2, and that's a story of what happened here right at the start of the Christian church. What we read here in Acts 2 was the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has come. The disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit. They're filled with boldness. And they go out into the market squares, out in the public, and they start to preach. They start to proclaim this incredible message about Jesus Christ. And people hear it. They hear this message of Jesus' death, his burial, and resurrection. And what's the reaction of the people? Well, it tells us that the people were cut to the heart. As they heard this incredible message, it made an impression, not only in their ears and their mind, but in their heart as well. That's what it says in verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? We've heard this incredible message. What are we going to do with it? Do we just hear it, forget about it? What do we do with this incredible good news story that you've shared with us? And this is what Peter said to them, verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. This is what you're going to do. Repent and be baptized. So let's unpack that phrase a little bit. He said to them, repent. What does the word repent mean? Again, it's another good Bible word. Really, the word repentance means to make a complete U-turn. See the direction you're heading? You're going in the complete opposite direction of God. You've been living your life your own way. You've been doing your thing, life your own way. You're heading in completely the opposite direction. And when you realize this incredible message about Jesus Christ, you need to do a U-turn. That's what repentance is, a complete turnabout. Turn to Christ and turn to his way. And you do that by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He says, repent and then be baptized. And baptism is really a public way of declaring that you are now a follower of Jesus Christ, that you've turned from your sin and you've turned to following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Baptism is really where your faith goes public. Baptism is where you nail your colors to the mast and you let everybody know, I've turned from my sin, I'm not perfect, but I'm following a perfect one, Jesus Christ. You want everybody to know that Jesus Christ is now the most important person in your life. There's nothing magical in this water here. The water that filled this tank comes from the same pipes that fills all our sinks here in the church. There's nothing magical about it. Hope it's a little bit warmer than some of the water that's in the sinks for those seven people getting in, but there's nothing magical in the water here. It's not special water. It's not holy water. For the seven people walking down these steps and standing in this water this evening, it won't make them a Christian. No. These people are already Christians. They've repented. They've turned from their sins. They've trusted Jesus Christ. What they're going to do this evening is just an outward sign. They want everybody to know that they've turned from their sins and they belong to Jesus. It's a bit like a wedding ring. On Wednesday last week, I stood just at the front of this church and conducted a wedding. It was the first wedding we've had in our new church building. And as part of that wedding service, the bride and the groom, they made some promises to each other. They committed their lives to one another. But as part of that service, they exchanged wedding rings. They took a ring and they put it on the other person's finger. And what really is a wedding ring? A wedding ring is an outward symbol. It's a symbol of the couple's love for one another. It's a symbol of their commitment for one another. But at the end of the day, it's only a piece of metal. Quite an expensive piece of metal, but that's all it is. It's a piece of metal. But you know what this outward symbol represents? Something far more significant. It represents something that's happening internally in the hearts and the lives of these people, that they love each other and they're committing themselves to each other. That's what baptism is. Baptism is an outward symbol of something that's happened significantly in the hearts and lives of these people who are baptized. They want you all to know tonight that they love Jesus Christ and they're committing their lives to him. But also in baptism, they're identifying with Jesus Christ. And they're identifying with Jesus Christ in three very clear ways that we've already mentioned. They're identifying with Jesus in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection as well. And so tonight, as I put the people underneath the water, that will identify with Christ's death. But they'll identify in their own lives that's putting their old self to death, their old sinful lives to death. And then as they go under the water, they're identifying with Christ's burial. Say, that's not the end. We bring them back up again. And as they come back up of the water this evening, they're identifying with Jesus Christ's resurrection. And what they're identifying with is that Christ's resurrection power has actually happened in their lives as well. That they have been brought into a newness of life. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone. And the new has come. And that's what we're symbolizing here tonight. Death of their old lives under the water, and then rising again to the newness of life with Christ's resurrection power. Baptism is all about Jesus. That's what these seven people want to do. They want to identify with their Savior this evening. In Acts 2 that we read about, 3,000 people did exactly the same thing. They turned from their sins. They turned to Jesus. They trusted him as their Savior. And they were immediately baptized as a public declaration of their love and their commitment to Jesus Christ. But baptism wasn't the end for these 3,000 people we read about in Acts 2. As we read on, they got involved in the local church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They met together. They broke bread. They remembered Christ's death and gave thanks for it. They prayed together. They helped each other in very practical, even financial ways. And they joined together on a regular basis to praise God as well. Repentance, turning from your sin, that's an individual thing. Baptism, it's an individual thing. You do it individually tonight. But God doesn't leave you as individuals. And his plan for people is to be connected together in a local church. to meet together in a local church so you can grow in your faith and mature as well. And our hope for these seven people being baptized this evening, that you will fully commit yourself to the life of this local church. And as you meet together the rest of the Christians who have identified themselves with Jesus, that you will be built up and matured in your faith as well. Shortly, seven people are going to come up on stage and share a bit of their story. That's what they're most nervous about. They're not worried about getting into the water. They're nervous about standing up in front of you lot and speaking out and telling a bit about their story. But they're going to share a little bit about what Jesus Christ means to them. But before we hear their stories, let me ask, what does Jesus Christ mean to you? What does Jesus mean to you? Remember, it's all about Jesus. Do you understand the gospel tonight? Do you understand this good news message that we read about in the Bible? Do you realize that Jesus Christ died for sins on the cross? That he was buried? He rose again in the power of resurrection. And he offers new life to you. And he offers forgiveness of your sins if you repent and turn to him. What did the people ask on the day of Pentecost? They said, "What shall we do?" When they heard the message, they said, "What shall we do?" And the answer is still the same today. On the 6th of December 2015, the answer is still the same. What shall we do? To repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the gospel message. We thank you the message of the gospel, the message of the Bible is good news. It's the most incredible news that we have ever heard. That the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That Jesus Christ loved us despite of our sin, our rebellion, our rejection of his ways. And he loved us so much to go to a cross. He demonstrated his love by dying on the cross for our sins. We thank you that death was not the end, but Jesus Christ, even though he was buried, rose again in power. He lives today in the power of a new life, and he offers forgiveness to those who repent. We thank you for these seven young people. We thank you for their faith and trust in you. We thank you that they've turned from their sin and they've turned to a glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray tonight as they make this public declaration of their faith that you might build them up and encourage them in their walk with you as well. But we pray for everyone. Pray for everyone here this evening that each one of us will understand the gospel, but not just know it in our heads, know it in our hearts as well, and make sure that we've turned to you. And we're trusting Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Thank you, we pray. In Jesus Christ's lovely name, amen.